maybe it's better. Okay, so first of all, I would like to thank the organizer for invitation and the opportunity to speak. Let me start with some notation. Probably all of you know it, but let me repeat it. So we say that the vector, this will be n-dimensional vector. To avoid technicalities, we assume it has full dimensional support. So we say that the distribution of this vector is log concave if it has a form, if it has density, and it has a form e to the negative convex function, so e to the concave function. Unconditional means that if we multiply the coordinates by plus minus 1, the distribution stays the same. So there are a lot of plenty of symmetries. And isotropicity means that the mean is zero, so obviously unconditionality implies this. And the covariance matrix is identity. If vector has a finite second moment, then there exists an affine transformation such that T of X is isotropic. And for unconditional vector, this transformation is just diagonal transformation. So this is obvious remark. And log concave vectors have all moments finite. So this is just a matter of normalization to assume isotropicity. Okay, and during the talk, I will always assume that X is log concave, isotropic, and I unconditional. So I will not repeat this assumption. So what are the basic assumptions? So the basic examples. So first example is just standard normal vector. So that is a sequence of independent standard normal random variables with mean 0 and variance 1. More general situation is when the coordinates are independent, but they not necessarily have Gaussian distribution. They may be just any distribution with log concave density, and the normalization to make them isotropic is that the variance is 1 and they are symmetric to be unconditional. Okay, and then one more example is a uniform distribution on unconditional convex body. So for example, the unit body in LR, and we have to normalize it to satisfy this condition to be isotropic. So normalization is more or less by n to the power 1 over R. And then standard thing. So the norm P is LP norm, and this is both for real case and vector case, vectors. And I will concentrate on moments, but moments are strictly related to tails. So probably most probabilists prefer to look at tails than moments. But if you don't care too much about the constant, this is more or less the same. Why? Because this is just Chebyshev inequality. The probability that random variable is bigger than a constant times its fifth moment is this constant to the negative p power. And one may reverse this inequality under very minimal assumptions, namely that moments are comparable with a good constant. So like 2p moment and fifth moment are comparable. Then one may reverse this instead of here. 1 over some constant that depends only on this alpha, and here it's more or less e to the negative p. So from some point it's e to the negative p. Near zero, you cannot beat a constant. And then for log concave vectors, we have this assumption. So in the real case, this constant is 2. In the vector case, I don't know exact value of the constant, but it's smaller than 5 for sure. So I will use during the talk three special sequences. So one sequence was already introduced. This is a sequence of independent normals. Other sequence is small epsilon I. This is Bernoulli sequence. So the sequence of independent plus minus one random variables. So strictly speaking, they are not log concave because they have discrete density, but instead of them, if you prefer to consider a log concave case, you may consider uniform distribution on negative 1, 1. This behaves the same, but I think it's more standard to use a Bernoulli sequence, but this sequence of independent uniform of minus 1, 1. And another sequence are capital epsilon or script EI. This is a sequence of IID symmetric exponential random variables, and our constant normalization is variance 1. So this is the density, so 1 over square root of 2, e to the negative square root of 2 times modulus of x. C will denote always uniform constants, and even in the same line, it may take two different values. So I will not care about exact values. And F is equivalent to G for two functions if there exists this uniform constant, not depending on any parameters, such that F by G is bigger than 1 over C, smaller than C. Okay, and what is more or less the goal of this talk is to present a reasonable, whatever means reasonable, functions that obviously depends on the distribution and P and maybe also of a vector space, such that for any scalars, the kth moment is equivalent to this function, and more general for any vector combination of vector valued combination is equivalent to F. Okay, so first let me present the simplest possible example to show what can we expect of such a function. So obviously the simplest possible example is this Gaussian situation. So real case is trivial because Gaussian are stable, so combination of Gaussian is again Gaussian with a parameter that is just the variance. So the pith norm is just proportional to the second norm of coefficient sequence, and the proportionality constant is pith moment of single Gaussian. I wrote you the exact formula. It's not extremely pleasant, but it's easy to see that this is more or less square root of p. I think Grigory's already discussed it, but moments of Gaussian random variables grow like square root of p. And what about the vector case? So for the vector case, this is typical situation that we have two parameters, strong parameter and weak parameter. So strong parameter is either median or the first norm. This usually is comparable. And weak parameter, so for the Gaussian, weak parameter is just you take all functionals of norm at most 1, you apply them to this sequence of vector, and you compute the second norm of this. So supremum of this is so-called weak parameter for Gaussian random vector, and this moment of Gaussian random vector is first moment plus square root of p times this weak parameter. So these are the formulas, so I hope you find them reasonable for Gaussian, and you cannot expect any better in general case, but only worse. And also, by the central limit theorem, such quantities like square root of p times second moment should appear somehow. And I will not discuss how to treat this strong parameter. This is different topic. It's majorizing measures and stuff like this. Okay, so let me do first trivial thing. So this is a lower estimate. So xi are unconditional. It means that their distribution is the same if we multiply by plus minus 1. So we may multiply by independent random plus minus 1. So this is equality because of the distribution. Then we may use Jensen if p is bigger than 1 and put one expectation inside. This is for log concave, all moments are comparable. Second moment is 1, so this is like a constant. So this is 1 over a constant times the pith moment of Bernoulli sequence, and we lose obviously at this point. And for Bernoulli combination of Bernoulli, the exact formulas were found by Montgomery Smith. So Montgomery Smith computed the tails actually, and at Hitchenkov, and notice that it may be translated from tails into moments. And the formula is like this. So you have a combination of Rademachers of Bernoulli. And there is a Gaussian part. So you may, to have a Gaussian part, you forget about the p's largest coefficient and have the square root of p times the second norm of the rest coefficient. So you erase p's largest and then you have to take care of this p's largest coefficient, so you just sum them. So AI star is just the non-increasing rearrangement, and there should be modulus here, modulus of AI. Okay, so this is formula is also not that bad. It's pretty useful. It was used in many applications. Okay, less trivial bound is the bound from above. So one extreme is Rademacher sequence or uniform sequence on the cube. This is the same. Uniform distribution on the cube. And what is the above extreme? It turns out that this is a sequence of independent exponential random variables. And then Bobkov and Nazarov in 2003 proven this, in fact, this inequality for Tays or for even for joint distribution function. And if you integrate it, you get obvious corollary that moments are comparable with some constant. This constant is like 10. And how about this quantity? So this quantity was computed by Guskin and Kvapkin in 95. And they showed that there is, again, a Gaussian part. So this exponential has heavier tails than Gaussian. So there should be something else. And this something else, something bigger, is p times a infinity. So if all coefficients are small, basically this behaves like Gaussian. If one of the coefficients is big, it behaves like p times this coefficient. In fact, Guskin and Kvapkin result was more general. So they solved the question in the independent case. So we have independent symmetric random variables with log concave ties and normalization variance 1. Then Ni of t is either negative logarithm of the tail for t bigger or 1 or t squared for t in 0 and 1. This function don't have to be continuous, but it's almost continuous. There is a small jump on at 1. And then it turns out that if you would like to compute the p's moment of combinations, scalar combinations of this independent random variable, it's this formula. So this is like a dual Ohlich norm. So if you may represent it as an Ohlich norm taking the Legendre transform of Ni, but I prefer this dual representation. So you have this Ni, which is almost a convex function, and then you have supremum over some AIBI. Over all sequences such that some Ni of modules of BI is smaller or equal than P. And again, it's not hard to notice that there is a similar situation as for Rademacher. So if you forget about P's largest or minimum PN largest coefficients, you have a Gaussian norm. So you have square root of P times L2 norm of coefficients, but you delete the couple of maximal coefficients, and then for the rest you must apply the same formula. So the difference between Gaussian and this is only this quantity that depends on p's largest coefficient, and so this also suggests that there should be something like central limit theorem results. So there should be some Gaussian approximation more stronger than this. And in fact, it's true. So you may get a slightly better bound than this. So you may again. So here P2 is also, but P2 is better. So you get like this. You forget about P2 largest coefficients. You compute now exactly Gaussian norm. So not square root of P, but gamma P. So this is exactly the norm of some AI. GI, but over the not all coefficients, you don't take here the largest ones, and then there is some correction term which is as before. So if all coefficients are small, this correction term is small, and one may prove it. Okay, so in fact, the difference between peak moment of this sequence and the Gaussian peak moment is dominated with constant one even by p times a infinity. So in this formula, I also see that somehow exponentials are extremal, because for exponential this quantity appears. Okay, so this is Gaussian. So independent case, at least with scalar coefficient, is completely understood, I guess. And now what about general case, not independent case? In fact, one may obtain the very similar formula as for the independent case. Unfortunately, slightly more involved, because there is no independence, no product form of the density. So what is the formula? Maybe let's look at the bottom of this. So again, you have a Gaussian norm of the coefficients, but you forget about p's largest coefficient. So this is a Gaussian part. You take the rest of coefficients except of but the p largest. Okay, and what about the p largest? So they belong to the set IP. You look at the density, so marginal density of xi for I in IP. So this is some function GIP. In the independent case, it was a product function. So when after taking logarithm, you have bare sum of an I here. Now it's not a product function. So you cannot have such a nice formula as before. But still it's some function, and you look when this density is bigger than e to the negative cp, c is some constant, and when this is, you add this to the Gaussian part, and you obtain equivalent formula for moments. So is this reasonable? So the problem here is to compute obviously this gi, this marginal density. Good thing is that you take into consideration only a couple of coefficients, so not the whole density, but the density of p coordinates. And in some situations it may be done. So for example, the typical one of the situations it can be performed is uniform distribution on BRN, because sections of BRN are are balls, but in smaller dimensional, so it's easy to compute the marginal distribution here, and notice that it behaves more or less like e to the negative x to the r Armon. Okay, so after this you recovered Bart, Gedon, Mendelssohn, and Naor results from 2005. Okay, so again you have Gaussian term as before. You take, and for the p's largest coefficient you have LR prime norm, when as usual R prime is conjugate to R, and here you have minimum p n to the 1 over R. So this stabilizes for p bigger than n, but this is a general phenomenon that if you have a uniform distribution on a convex body, its p's norm stabilizes after n. So this was also in Grigori's talk, but for uniform distributions on convex body, it's enough to compute moments up to n. Okay, and what is interesting also about this formula, that there is some kind of decoupling here. So if you take x1 star, xn star, independent random variables with the same distribution as xi, so xi star has the same distribution that xi, but now they are independent. So it turns out that moments in the independent case, decoupled case, and undecoupled case are the same up to the end. After end, you cannot hope for such a result. So this is quite interesting phenomenon. I cannot say I completely understand it. So natural question is, can one extend this phenomenon to more general distribution? So for example, what kind of distribution satisfies has these properties? So here the crucial property is that the sections of L are homothetic. So this is the I think only LP box has these properties, but Yes. Here X has a uniform distribution on. This is a very special distribution. And XI star are decoupled XI, so they are independent and marginal distributions are. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes. I'm sorry. I wrote these slides several times. Each time I find like 5 misprints. Maybe one more. Okay. So at least there is one more general inequality for uniform distributions or all each balls, so you have only one-sided inequality. So now this decoupled random variables dominate undecoupled. So now it also holds for p bigger than n, but this is somehow easy. So they proved. So Martin and Onufre proved something more general. They proved that these random variables are negatively correlated. So from this negative correlation, you may get this inequality with constant 1 for p even, and from this for all p. Okay, so it's very natural to ask what are the assumptions such that this or the previous equivalence holds. So we have a conjecture that unconditionally plus permutation invariant, as if we believe that it's enough for this. For the other, I'm not so sure. But for this, it should be enough to have unconditionality and permutations invariant. So a lot of symmetries, if you have a lot of symmetries, then basically you should be able to decouple. Okay, so in the second part, I would like to talk about the vector case, which is probably the more interesting, but also the more difficult and the less is known. So I will pose a lot of open questions and only a few results. So first question is, okay, for the scalar case, there were two extremes. One, when uniform distribution of the cube or Rademacher sequence, another extreme was exponential sequence. So the first question is this the same for vector valued case, and the answer is yes. So the lower bound is pretty obvious. You just repeat all the steps. In fact, there was no use in the proof of vectors of real structure. So you repeat, somehow put independent Rademachers here, use Jensen's, and you get this. To get the upper estimate is not that trivial. So first, for the real case, it was a corollary from Bobkov and Nazarov. And now you use this, and you use Talagrand's deep theorem about suprema of linear combination of exponential random variables. So this is generic chaining technique in order to estimate first moment or pith moment, it doesn't matter so much. You may use this generic chaining technique, and then express this as some chain, and in this chain there are so this is a supremum of some linear combinations, and tails are dominated for this by exponential, so the same proof shows that there is this thing. So having this Talagrand result and Bobkov Nazarov, if you understand it, it's not extremely hard to get this upper bound. From what I say at the beginning, that moments and tails are basically the same. If you have comparison of moments, you have also comparison of tails. So formally it seems like a stronger result, but it's equivalent. So you have again here any vector combination of these unconditional isotropic random vectors are dominated on one side by exponential and from below by Rademacher. So you have this formula. Obviously, you are losing something here, but extremes are the same. So this is answer to the question about the extremes, but this doesn't answer the question what is the exact behavior of this, because these quantities differ. No. Now XI is my general assumption. So unconditional, log concave, and isotropic. So not for independent is slightly easier. So now the hard part is how to replace independence by this unconditionality. And now, so very for independent case, we can compute this exactly. So the formula is of the same type as for Gaussian. So you have a strong parameter, so either a mean or median, it doesn't matter. And then you have a weak parameter. What is weak parameter? You have all functionals of norm at most one. You apply them to this, and you compute the peace norm, which can be computed by Kvapin and Guskin result. So I to make it short, and I wrote this. Okay, so and it's known it holds for the independent case, and the main tool here is Talagrand's two-level concentration for the product exponential distribution, but maybe translated into some concentration for this distribution of X. And the obvious conjecture is that this holds for more general random variables. So, for example, log concave, but maybe unconditional. So I'm talking about unconditional case because now there are a lot of results for the unconditional random variables, and maybe there is a hope one can prove something for in this case. In the general case, it should be very, very hard. Okay, and again, we were able to prove it with ONUF reform, uniform distribution on LR balls using transport of measure, basically. So we transported the measure from the product distribution with density E to the sum XIR into the uniform distribution on BR, and we investigated properties, and it turns out that more or less you transport also this equivalence. Okay, and this thing is strictly connected to concentration results. So what is the concentration result? This is also of interest because there appeared here LP centroid bodies that also were present in some other talks. So you have mi is now the distribution of X. So you take all of the points that the peace norm with this coefficient, so X, peace norm sum Ti Xi is smaller than 1, and you take the polar body to this, it's called LP centroid body. Usually it's differently normalized, but I will use this normalization, and the question is, and it's comparable to, for example, a floating body of order e to the negative p. So if you don't like LP centroid body, you may think about floating bodies. Okay, and the question is this the right thing to have concentration? So if we add this LP centroid body to the set of a measure at least 1/2, thus the measure of the sum is very large. So it's bigger than 1 minus e to the negative p by some constant. And this is maybe not equivalent, but this implies this question about the moments, strong and weak moments, and I think it's very, very, very connected. So we know it, unfortunately, only for the independent case and the case of BP balls, uniform distribution of BP balls. But and also one can prove that this is the smallest possible set. Namely, if you add some convex sets here and you have this property, it must contain some multiple of this this body. So you cannot beat this concentration. Okay, one may also ask about a weaker question. So instead of having here a weak norm of Xi, you know that the weak LP norm of Xi is dominated by LP norm of exponential. So you may put exponential here, keeping the strong parameter fixed. So here, if you have here epsilon I, this is exactly the result I present, this theorem that exponential dominates any unconditional. But here we have another strong parameter, and weak parameter is exponential, and we know what is this. This is P times L infinity norm plus square root of P times L2 norm. So this is equivalent question, and it's related to the following type of concentration. So instead of adding this LP centroid body, now you add a mixture of L2 and L1, just like in two-level Stalagrand concentration. And very little is known again. So this is stronger, for example, than Chigars inequality. And there is a result of Boas, Klaptak, and Emanuel Milman that unconditional isotropic distribution satisfies Chigars inequality with the constant of order log n. So from this, the obvious corollary is this inequality. Okay, here again, bigger or equal. So here there is still a gap between T log n B2 and square root of T B2n plus T B1n. So this shows that this question may be hard even for unconditional situation. And what we know is the following easy observation. I don't know it's easy. If the set is far away from the Euclidean ball. So, for example, if you enlarge Euclidean ball by L1 ball, it doesn't intersect. Then we have this enlargement, and you're far away from origin. You may only enlarge by L1 ball. So. But the problem is that the most of measure lies inside this body, obviously, inside a multiple of L2 ball. So this only shows how to reduce the question to the bounded situation, to the situation inside L2 ball. Okay, and so this was what I did before. Okay, here this question about concentration was one of the motivation about computing exact formulas for weak norms, because if we have exact formulas for this LP norms, we know more or less how this body behaves. And I hope that this knowledge would help a bit in solving this question. I don't know if it helps, but at least we know more or less how this body looks like. So another motivation was Sudakov minoration. Minoration is a question. I would like to finish my talk with discussing of this. So the problem is how to estimate this strong parameter. So for example, median or expected value of supremum of linear combinations of coordinates of X. So one may do the following easy estimate. So one may subtract any vector here T0 using the property that X has mean 0. So this is just the property that T0 is fixed and mean of X is 0. Then you may put, obviously, modulus inside. Then you may change first norm into p-th norm, then supremum into a sum. And then, since there are e to the p things here, this sum behaves like more or less the maximum element. So this was why introducing here LP norm to kill this e to the p by e to the p to 1 over p is e. Okay, so you have this easy estimate. And the question is, can one reverse this statement? So obviously one should think how to make it precise, how to make this reverse statement possible to hold. So now you have again a set of order e to the negative p, but now not bounded from above but from below. So for example, exactly e to the p elements, and they are spread. So what does it mean that the elements of this set are spread? It means that the p-th norm of scalar product t minus s with x is bigger than a constant. So equivalently saying, it means that t minus probability that the modulus of this random variable is bigger than, let's say, 1/2 a is more or less e to the negative p. This is by this Paley-Zygmund. So with very small probability, each single random variable is big. But we have a lot of them. And the question is that if this helps to have that the supremum of all of them is bigger than a divided by some constant. So for a single random variable, it holds only with probability e to the negative p, but maybe for all it holds this. So this is kind of reversal. And one may make some computations for a Gaussian case, because we cannot solve the Gaussian, it's hopeless. And for the Gaussian case, again, stability means that this has normal distribution, so the p-th norm is square root of p more or less times t minus s2. And if you look, what does it mean that for any set t minus s times square root of p second norm is bigger than a, it will turn out that the this is exactly entropy number with respect to the L2 balls. And if you compute everything correctly, you will get equivalent statement of this, that supremum of Gaussian is bigger or equal than A times C square root of logarithm N times entropy number. This square root of logarithm is because of this square root of P. We have e to the P element, so P is square root of logarithm of this. So this is exactly a Sudakov minoration. So this is why this previous statement is called Sudakov minoration, because it generalizes the usual Sudakov minoration. And it's known that it holds for in the independent case. So there is at least some hope it may hold in the unconditional case, because it holds in the independent case. So Talagrand showed it for the densities of the form e to the negative x to some power, and I somehow extended it to any density pretty long ago, but when I was not interested in general situation. And the only thing I can show in general is that for uniform distribution on BP balls, it holds. So we have one example of non-product distribution when we have this minoration, but this is again a very very specific example. You've seen a lot of properties of this distribution is negatively correlated, which is using, and also it has this decoupling property. So, sorry? More than one. Yeah, more than one. It doesn't matter which side. And two easy observations to finish in. I have like 5 minutes, so maybe I will take less. So this is repetition of the conjecture. And yes, I'm sorry. Yes. So here I put only assumptions, but I made a misprint. So here there should be T.
And is there A on the second line?
Yeah, here is A. So these were the assumptions of... sorry. you have to... Okay, so... Yeah, and here should be T. Okay. All right, so you may use that exponential dominates unconditional. So if you have this inequality for the unconditional case, you have this inequality for exponential. So now, by Talagrand, Sudakov minoration, you know that supremum of this exponential is bigger than A. And now, supremum of ours is dominated by Rademachers, and the difference between Rademachers and exponential in n-dimensional space is just of the order log n. It's not hard to see that if you have any norm on Rademachers and any norm of on exponentials, then the expected value is bigger than 1 over log n the other. So we know it holds up to this log n factor. And in fact, one may slightly more delicate argument shows that log n may be improved into log n over p. So for p bigger than n, it's anyway very easy to see that for p bigger than n it holds, but for this it holds. So the question is now about beating this log factor. So this is again the reason I believe it might be true, and also it was my motivation to compute these norms, because we have to know what is this. Yes, to deal with this minoration. Okay, so now I may show you the last slide. Thank you. Mm-hmm. No, I think I can prove this Sudakov minoration if you have two assumptions. One is negative correlation, and another is this decoupling property. But I don't have an example of such distributions except of this LP ball. So this is more. We had the idea with Onofre that, you know, if you have permutation invariance, you have negative correlation. But we were not able to prove it even for dimension 3. So dimension 2 is somehow trivial. Yes. So, yeah, you may compute it for LP ball. Yeah. Mixture of these two. Yes. Yes. Okay, I was cheating here. So first, all right, there should be, okay, you may reduce this situation to have less vectors than, I guess, log n should be smaller than p, yes? So e to the p is smaller than n. Yeah, but it's, you know, it's very hard to translate this property into property of sets. Yes. This is the problem. Like for Bernoulli, for example, for Bernoulli problem, it's also the same. Yes. If you know, yeah, it's a question about supremum, and you know, yeah, it's some property, but it's geometrical property on in fact on the convex hull of T. Yes. So.